Welcome to the Harbor Fellowship Church Podcast.
Morning, Harbor. It's good to be with you this morning. I thought I'd first start by introducing myself, because I know some of you know who I am, and thank you for staying in the room and not walking out. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Mark, and I've called Harbor my family home, our family home. My wife, my two kids, we've been here for 15 years, and for the first 12 of those years, I had the privilege of being on the pastoral staff here at the church. And long story short, mental health, I had to step away from ministry, and since then, I've been working with my hands, loving it, home renos, that sort of thing, and just loving it. And I have the privilege this morning to open up God's word with you. And so it's a privilege to be here. Why don't we open up in a word of prayer, just to kind of help settle me down a little bit, and also pray that we would be receptive to God's work and speaking to us this morning. Let's start in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active. We thank you for the truth and its power. And Lord, this morning, would you help settle me down? Would you speak through me, through your word, by your spirit? God, that you would encourage us and challenge us today. We thank you for your presence here now. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm confident that everyone, every single person in this room has this one same desire. The desire is this: we all want peace. We all want peace. We want to experience peace within us. We want to experience peace in the relationships around us. Because, I mean, who wants to live a life in strife or contention with others? Who wants to have the stress of that life? And we know what the stress of that life does. Laura, thanks for sharing your story, right? And going through a blended family and all that stress. We know what that difficulty of life, maybe not that exact circumstance, but we know that. Maybe this morning you find yourself in a conflict, in kind of a lack of peace area. Maybe you are dealing with an inner turmoil and there's this unsettled nature within you. Maybe you're caught in a relationship tension right now with someone in your life. Maybe there's something happening and there's the resolution, it hasn't been resolved yet. Or maybe there's someone in your life who you just continue to butt heads with and have conflict with regularly. Maybe in your life there's a relationship. There's two people kind of near you who are in conflict with one another, and you're kind of in the blast zone. You're near that, and anyone around, there's no such thing as peace that's there. All these scenarios are the result of our broken world. That's not the way that God created our world, our relationships to be like, but that's because of sin and our own brokenness that is what we live in. We deal with conflict in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, you name it, in our communities. And in all these situations, like I said, I think we all desire peace. We want peace, starting inside of us and then working out through us into our families, into our workplaces, and into our communities. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, I think you probably think this same thing. Peace seems out of reach. It's something we want to experience, but we wonder, how is it at all possible to achieve? And what is our role as Christ followers to seek to bring peace to those around us? We're working through, as Ethan mentioned earlier, we're working through a series through the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew's gospel records that for us. And there Jesus is, he's on a mountainside, and he starts this famous, well-known, convicting, practical sermon. And he starts off with these blessed statements. And what we've been doing over the last number of weeks is maybe we've been walking through those. Maybe you remember, but let me read some of those for us just to remind us. These are Jesus' words. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. We've been talking about these the last number of weeks, and if you've missed one of those Sundays, go back online and have a listen through. But today we're on the next one, verse 9. But before I get there, Just let me remind us what the Beatitudes are. Remember, that word blessed is stated at the beginning of each of those statements. And Pastor Kevin a few weeks ago reminded us what that word means. And it's this. It's a bliss that abides. A bliss that abides. What it is, let me get this right. It's a joy that's not a fleeting happiness being contingent on our circumstances, but a deep-rooted, real joy that pervades. And so in the midst of difficulty and life circumstances, one who is blessed has that joy that stays, that's constant, that's deep-rooted. And what Jesus says when he says, blessed are, and he lists those off, he's declaring what the kingdom of God looks like. He is declaring what those in the kingdom of God look like, what we look like, how we act. And this morning, we get to the next beatitude, and it's in verse 9. If you have your Bibles, open them up. If you want to take some notes, that's great too. Verse 9, this is Jesus' words. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. What we want to do first is maybe break apart that compound word, right? That peacemakers. If we break it apart and help understand what it means by looking at the two halves. So the first word is peace. Well, what is peace? Well, oftentimes we think of peace as the absence of war or conflict, a ceasefire or a truce. Yes. But the peace that Jesus is talking about is so much greater than that peace. See, the peace that Jesus desires is not just an absence of something, but the presence of something. Not just the absence of conflict, but the flourishing of life. Do you see the difference? You can have an absence of physical conflict. You can smooth over the issues, but the two sides still remain as enemies. They're absorbed with their hate and their tension with one another, and so much so that they are thwarted, they're stagnant, they're restricted in their own growth because of that tension. Sure, they're peaceable, they're not fighting, but there's nothing of true peace that is there. There's a significant Hebrew word in scriptures that helps us understand more comprehensively this idea of peace. And Jesus would have been thinking about this as he spoke this. And that word is shalom. It's this great Hebrew Old Testament word, shalom. And shalom is this. It's the restoration of wholeness and well-being. Let me explain some more. It takes all the complex parts of life, bringing them together to form a complete wholeness of working together for mutual benefit. There's a state of harmony and thriving in all areas of life. First and foremost, between God and we as his creation, between God and people, also between people and people horizontally, and also peace between people and creation. And this is the idea of peace that Jesus has for us. Not just an absence of conflict, but a thriving and a flourishing of all aspects of life. What a beautiful image of peace, isn't it? We so often see broken peace or facades of peace, but the peace that Jesus wants for you and for me, wants for our church, wants for our people, wants for the whole world, is this shalom peace, a thriving, flourishing peace. And when we get a glimpse of that, when we experience a little bit of that, we can't help but want more of it, to experience that more and more. Peace, shalom. What's that second word is maker. What's that word, maker? Now, it's interesting that Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the peace seekers, as if we just need to go out and find where peace is. That's not it. It's not as if Jesus said, hey, we need to be peace keepers, as if peace is already here and we just need to hold on to it and keep it. Jesus said, blessed are the peace makers. The idea of making means that it requires effort. It takes work. As I mentioned, I work with my hands and I love it. And one of the things I love about working with my hands is you start there at the beginning of the day with a pile of building materials. And then hopefully at the end of the day, something is there in front of you. And I love standing back and watching and seeing that kind of the finished product. And over the last number of weeks with the heat we've been having, there I am at the end of the day looking over what I've done and I'm tired. I mean, I'm sweaty and I maybe just a little bit stink. Sometimes I even stink a whole lot. Sometimes in the middle of the day, I'm working along and I'm kind of like, I think I forgot to put on me a deodorant today. Sorry about that, Rob, John, and Ben. Sorry about that. But then I run out to my truck. I have a spare deodorant. It's always key to have a spare deodorant. Run out there and get it. Now, why am I sweaty? Why am I tired? Why do I smell? It's because I've been working. I've been working hard. It requires work. Now, I didn't show up at the beginning of the day and sit down with a couple coffees and think, oh, wow, look, I wonder what's going to be built today. No, I had to put in the effort. I had to put the time and the grit, determination to make it happen. Similarly, to bring about peace, it takes work. It takes a lot of effort. Peace doesn't happen on its own. See, the reality is we live in a broken world where sin and brokenness is in us and all around us. And peace needs to be made. It needs to be deliberate. It's hard. Issues need to be dealt with. Sometimes we need to confront sin in other people. Oftentimes we have to confront sin within us. It's messy. It requires giving of forgiveness and asking for forgiveness. It takes work. Peacemakers working to bring shalom. That's Jesus's vision for us as people of his kingdom. He calls us to work at bringing shalom into reality, into our lives, into lives around us, and to see that ripple and radiate out. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I'm sure at this point, you probably feel as I felt as I was studying this passage. Here I am getting a better understanding of what it means to be a peacemaker, and I felt, which is probably how you're feeling, totally overwhelmed. I mean, that's a big call to do. That's a big course of action. If you're like me, I run away from conflict. My typical response is to get me out of there. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to respond to it. And here Jesus is saying, I want you to be a peacemaker. I want you to get right in there. And so we feel overwhelmed to be a part of bringing this shalom on earth. And we may be asking ourselves, is this even possible? Can we even bring this type of peace on earth? Can we even make that? And if we can, how is it even possible? Well, don't get too discouraged. I'm not done yet. I have more to say. There is hope. There is good news because there is a source of this type of peace. There is a source of this peace. I love the prophet Isaiah's description of Jesus. It's often a passage we look at Christmas time. But here's Isaiah, the prophet, 700 years before Jesus is born, and he's prophesying, he's declaring out that there is coming one who is this. And listen to this description. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And listen to the last one, Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? He is the Prince of Peace. You see, shalom peace can be realized and experienced only through Jesus. We can experience that deep, profound peace only through Jesus. Our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers can experience that peace only through Jesus. And it radiates out. Our country, our world can experience that deep, profound shalom peace only through Jesus. See, peace is not achieved by us working hard on our own. Peace is not achieved by our own morality. Peace is not achieved through political leaders or military force. Peace is not found in other religious leaders or paradigms. Peace is found only through Jesus. He is the source of peace. And get this, he becomes our source of peace when we accept him as our peacemaker. Let me say that again. He becomes our source of peace when we accept him as our peacemaker. See, the reality is our greatest need as human beings is not peace with one another. We want that and we desire it, and that's good. But our greatest need as humanity is not peace with one another. Our greatest need is peace with our Creator, with our God. And Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is God's strategy, the only strategy, to bring about a lasting peace between him and us. Paul writes this in Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peacemaker. It's an incredible concept to think of. Jesus stood between God and sinful humanity. Jesus stood in the middle, took our place, taking our sin, taking our shame upon him on the cross, paying with his very life, sacrificing himself so that our relationship with God could be restored and that type of peace could be experienced. And so when we turn from our sin, when we turn from ourselves and turn and trust in Jesus, we start to experience that peace now in this life. Now, I'll bet it's going to be marred because we continue to live in a broken, sinful world in us and around us, but we begin to experience that peace with God through Jesus. And what's more, there will come a day when Jesus returns, because he's returning, and when he comes, we will gloriously enjoy full, eternal, unending, complete shalom with God and with one another. That's a beautiful picture. Man, I want that. I look forward to that day when we're in his presence, when no more conflict, no more tension, where we are thriving with our God and with one another. That's a beautiful picture to work towards. So let me ask you, have you received, personally received, this peace that Jesus offers you, that Jesus went to the cross for? If not, what's holding you back? What's standing in the way of you stepping forward and saying, Jesus, I need you. I'm broken. I'm sinful. I turn from that and I trust in you. Will you bring your peace into my life? I encourage you to do that. For those of us this morning who are Christ followers, my encouragement for us in this is that we would continue to look to Jesus as our source of peace. I don't know about you, but it's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? And look elsewhere, to look at things, to look at people, to look at position, to find peace in our life. All those things do not bring lasting, true peace. We're unable to bring peace into our, none of that allows to bring that peace into our lives. I jumped ahead a bit. Let me back up a bit. No one can take away that peace that Jesus gives us. And so this morning, Christ followers, my encouragement is that you would refix your eyes on the Prince of Peace. And we're going to have a moment at the end of the service to come around the table and to remember what Christ has done on our behalf, to meditate on that and to receive it and to be worship God for that. So we're going to have that coming up in a bit. So here we are. We've been personally receive his peace. We're brought back into relationship with God. It's then and only then that we're able to act as his peacemakers. That's important. We're unable to bring true lasting peace into relationships, into our world, if we have not yet received peace from Jesus. But once we have received peace with God through Jesus, we are then empowered and unleashed as his peacemakers on earth. Isn't that incredible? Talk about a responsibility we are given as his church, as people of his kingdom, that we have the responsibility to be peacemakers here on earth, to bring shalom into being. That is incredible. And so for our time for the rest of the morning, I want to focus on just practically how we play this out. How do we practically be peacemakers in our world? Let me suggest that there are two overarching ways. The first is vertical. The second is horizontal. So let me first address the idea of vertical. First, We are vertical peacemakers. See, just as Jesus stood as the peacemaker between God and us and brought that peace, we as his church carry on that mission. We continue to live that out. As I said, the reality is our humanity's need is not peace with one another. Their greatest need is peace with God. And we as his church have been given the responsibility to communicate the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus. And I suggest that that's our main task as peacemakers. There's other things, and we're going to talk about them in a second, but I think our main task is being peacemakers, of sharing the good news of Jesus to see other people come to know Jesus and find that peace. For the last number of months, I've been praying for a chance to share the gospel with someone in my life. And I had the opportunity just about a few weeks ago. We were sitting on the job site. We're on this big job, and we were sitting there at lunch. It was me and one of my coworkers, who's also a Christian, and another guy that we've been working with. I've been working with him for a couple of years, not every day, but I've seen him regularly. And there's been lots of jokes on the work site because he's working with us. We're all a bunch of Christians, so he knows that. And so there's different kind of Christian jokes, not bad Christian jokes, just kind of poking fun. And during our lunchtime, I was talking about how expensive gas was, and I've got a pickup truck, and I was talking about how slowly I accelerate because I don't want to burn so much gas. And then I think about the person behind me, if they're upset that I'm not accelerating as fast as they want, and then they see the Jesus Saves sticker on the back of the truck and wondering what's going on in their minds. And the guy sitting next to me says to me, yeah, what is that all about? What is this that Jesus saves? No clue. And for the next 10 minutes, my coworker and I were able to talk about the gospel, talk about who Jesus is and what he came to do and what he offers for him as well. And what was so cool about it wasn't us preaching. It wasn't us just unloading and dumping. It was actually a conversation, which was so cool. He was asking some follow-up questions and clarifications. It was incredible. And I was riding high that day. I was riding high for the next couple weeks, and I continue to pray for that guy. I continue to pray that the seed that was planted may do something in him, that he might come to see his need for Jesus and a Savior, and that he would come to find peace. That's our role as Christ followers. Our main role is that we would be peacemakers. And our people around us, the greatest need they have is peace with God. Would we be people who share that out? So my challenge for you today is this. Would you pray, start praying today? You can pray now as long as you keep listening to me. But you can pray, hey, Lord, can I have an opportunity? I'm watching for an opportunity this week to have a spiritual conversation with someone. And would you pray it? And would you pray it with meaning? And would you be ready and be bold to have the conversation? And I'm not meaning it has to be a full-blown thing, but would you start to have a spiritual conversation with someone? Even this guy I'm talking about, it's been a couple months of me just kind of asking questions like, hey, have you ever been to church before? Oh, what do you think about church? What do you think about Jesus? I've had those questions with him. And that kind of brought about a conversation that it was natural to then talk more about it. So how can you start rolling a spiritual conversation with someone? Would you be praying for that and being bold this week in that way? Let's be vertical peacemakers. The other way we act as peacemakers is the idea of horizontally bringing peace into relationships. And I've kind of broken this up into two categories. Don't mind my illustration that I put together yesterday in Canva in about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But there's kind of two ways. And I realized this in the first service, I was going to run overboard. So I'm going to focus mainly on the first one, the left one. The other one I'll just touch on. But if you look at those, the left one, this is a situation. You, let's say you're the person on the left, you're in conflict with someone else. And the one way we act as peacemakers is that we step up as the peacemaker. We enter into between to try to sort out the details. The other side is when there's two people who are near to you who are in conflict, you're in the blast zone, and you're like, hey, how can I step in as the peacemaker? I think these are the two ways, or two of the ways, that we can act as peacemakers. So let's look at the first one. Maybe you find yourself in a situation like this right now. Maybe you're in tension with someone, there's some conflict, maybe it's a spouse or a child or a neighbor or a sibling or a coworker, And if you're anything like me, my natural tendency is to push back, is to ignore the situation. For a host of reasons, maybe we just don't want to deal with the situation, and so we ignore the person, we ignore what's going on. Maybe we don't step forward because we're waiting for the other person to take the first step. You know what, I'll just sit back, we'll let them step up to initiate this. Maybe we're hurt and we want to stay upset at the person. So we're like, I don't want to bring peace to this situation because I want them to hurt. I want them to continue to feel the pain of this. Maybe we don't want to acknowledge our part in the process, our part in the conflict. Those are all reasons why we don't step up. But what does our Lord Jesus call us to do? He calls us to be peacemakers. And so when we find ourselves in turmoil or conflict, would we be brave enough and trust in him to step forward and to be a peacemaker? I should say this as before I go into the next part. This is easier said than done. And I don't take this lightly, what we're in. Sometimes we find ourselves in conflicts that are not super, but simple. And so they can go on a range all the way to complex. And so this is not always the easiest situations to deal with. And so my heart this morning is just to bring maybe a couple principles our way that can maybe start us down that path. But let me say this, if your situation is more complex, you probably need some more help in dealing with that. There was a book I came across this week, Resolving Everyday Conflict. Nice, short, small book. There's also another one called The Peacemaker. But maybe you need to find some more resources if your situation is more complex. And let me also say this, if you're in a situation that's even more complex, you might need to bring in like a professional to help you out, to help navigate the situation, to bring peace, okay? I just want to clarify that. But for kind of lower level, easier conflicts, here are some things to keep in mind. You'll see the next screen. Here are some principles to keep in mind. First of all, don't wait. Don't wait. Oftentimes, if we wait, things grow, things exacerbate, fester. So don't wait. Jump on it as quick as you can. Second, take time to pray. Pray before you meet with the person, pray during, pray for the other person, pray for resolution, pray for your own attitude and motive, which leads to the third one, is check your attitude and motive. I think oftentimes, even when we might want to step up as a peacemaker, we got to check our motive and our attitude. Because sometimes we're coming in there guns blazing. That's not the attitude we have. We're there to resolve the issue. And so our hearts should be ones of gentleness and humility, seeking to bring the best in that relationship, in that situation. Fourth is this, meet face to face. We live in a culture right now that does everything over text, and sometimes it drives me up the wall. This is not a situation where you text someone. Unless it's a super simple situation, meet face to face. Sit down with the person, and there's something so important about that you see face to face, eye to eye, you see body language, you see tone of voice, all that stuff that you lose, and texting will just make it worse. Number five, own your part. Sometimes we think it's always the other person's fault. But what have we done to cause or exacerbate the situation, and be ready to ask for forgiveness, to offer that? The last one is be ready to forgive. Go ready to forgive. When you show up and they ask for forgiveness, be prepared, I forgive you, to step in with that. I'm so appreciate Laura Lee's story. And I can't imagine the situation of a blended family and all the tension that would bring. But there is one part that I want to highlight of what she said that I think is really important for us as we enter into being a peacemaker. As she says this, over the years, I've had to learn how to address issues clearly, to be kind in my words, have healthy boundaries, to ask for forgiveness and offer forgiveness. Many times I had to examine my heart and learn how to deal with conflict the way God wanted me to. I love that. And what stands out to me is that idea, I've had to learn. I'm not a good peacemaker. In fact, I'm horrible at it. I shy away from it. I run away from it. But as I've been preaching this, I've been convicted that I need to step up and work at this. And it's something that we can learn. Don't expect to have this all figured out right at the very beginning. You're going to meet with someone and you're going to be this professional peacemaker and you'll never have conflict again in your life. It's something that we learn. It's something that we grow in. It's something that we develop. It's like a muscle that we develop through our lives. And so would we be people who come into this not expecting everything to work out perfectly, but to at least that we're going to try. We're going to learn. We're going to take that step forward. So who are you maybe in relational conflict with right now? Would you step up and seek to bring peace, make peace in that situation? The second, which we don't have as much time to walk through, but it's this. It's when there's a conflict near you. It doesn't necessarily involve you, but it's around you. You're in the blast zone. And what I want to say about this one is it depends on how close you are to that conflict is how you respond to it as a peacemaker. So let me say this. If it's a conflict, like say in your home, in your work, if it's in your workplace and it's like under your responsibility, if it's with your grouping of friends, then I would say, hey, this is a chance to jump in as a peacemaker. I mean, that's close. There's tension, there's conflict. How can you step forward to try to facilitate peace in that? But I also know that as the distance between you and the conflict kind of grows, your role as a peacemaker kind of is diminished at some level, right? You don't have the right just to step up there and step in and, hey, we're meeting here and we got to talk about this. But what you can do is encourage peace. Encourage peace. And some people don't even know that that's even possible. When you see coworkers in conflict or neighbors in conflict, you could give them a vision of something better than conflict. No one likes conflict. What if you guys got together and what if you were able to make some peace here or figure out how to deal with this situation? We become more encouragers of peacemakers and then as opposed to stepping right in the middle. But I think it's still an act of a peacemaker. Let me say this, neither of these are easy. Again, as I studied this, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, this is not an easy thing to do. And what's more is we can't force people to make peace. We can't force peace. We can't control how people respond. We can't ensure that peace will come about, but we can try. And it's worth it to try. It's worth it to jump in and step up as a peacemaker, to seek to give our world a glimpse of shalom, that they would get a taste of what God desires for them, for us and for them. It's worth it to jump in as a peacemaker. And you know what happens when we jump in as a peacemaker? What did Jesus say? They will be called children of God. They will be called children of God. As I get older, as the years roll on, this happens to me. Maybe you've realized this as well. I say or I do something, and then I pause and realize that's the exact same thing my dad would say or do in the situation. And quite frankly, sometimes it's downright horrifying. I'm like, who is this? Is my dad here? Did he just speak through me? Isaiah, my son, is something for you to look forward to. You can speak and act like me in the future. But biblically, in a good way, when we step up as peacemakers, we resemble our Father. When we step up as peacemakers, God is made evident. God is made visible. Because you know what happens? When we seek to bring peace into relationship, other people look in and say, wait a second, what are you doing? Because you're not acting the way culture usually acts. Culture throws the relationship out. Culture throws fuel onto the fire. Culture holds on to grudges. And they look in and see, wait, what are you doing here? Why are you seeking to resolve this? But as you step up as a peacemaker, what becomes evident is that you're a child of God. You're doing what your Father does. You're showing that peace. You're stretching out your arm of forgiveness and reconciliation. That is peacemaking. And that's the honor we have as Christ followers, to resemble our dad. In closing, we want to come around the Lord's table and conclude our time by fixing our eyes on Jesus and the peace that he has brought us. We want to remember him. We want to praise him because Jesus didn't shy away from bringing us peace, did he? He didn't shy away from it. Praise him. Jesus stepped between God and us. Praise him. He sacrificially took our place and paid the price. Praise him. Without him, we would be lost. We would have no hope of peace now and no hope of peace in the future. We worship and remember right now the Prince of Peace. We come around a table And it reminds us and takes us back to the night before Jesus was crucified. And the night before Jesus was crucified, there he was in the upper room having the Passover meal, and he's hanging out with his disciples, reclining around the table. And it's then that Jesus took the bread and the juice from wine, bread and the cup from the table, and he used those to talk about what he was about to do. The cross was a day away. He was ready to be crucified. And he takes these elements and says, this bread, this is my body that's broken for you. And this cup, this is my blood broken for you. And it's something that we as Christians continue to remember, continue to live out this Lord's table, this communion, for the last 2,000 years, and we will continue to do it until Jesus returns. I want to invite the band up right now. And as they do, let me say this. Receiving and taking the elements are for those who have turned and trusted in Jesus. If that's not you, if you have yet to turn and trust in Jesus, we don't want you to do something that is not genuine to your own heart. And so my encouragement for you is, hey, just you can sit where you are. And my encouragement would be, would you consider what Jesus has done for you? Would you consider that Jesus went to the cross to pay for your sin? And maybe even today, you would turn and trust in him as your Lord and Savior. Here's the flow of our time. There's going to be confession, then there's going to be receiving, and there's going to be taking. Confession, receiving, and taking. So we're going to start off with a time of confession in a moment. And that's just a time for us to pause just between us and God silently and just have a chance to confess. It's a good to have a time of confession because we remember that Jesus was not just our peacemaker in the past. He continues to stand as our peacemaker. And we can come before him this morning. We can confess those things in our lives that are untrue to him, sinful things. We can take a time to confess and to continue to receive his peace this morning. After we've had a time of confession, Pastor David will lead us to come to the table to receive the elements. If physical mobility is an issue with you, you can simply just raise your hand where you are and one of our servers will come and bring the elements to you. But as we come forward to the table, we're going to have a chance to sing a song together. I think we sang it last time we had the Lord's table together. And it's this song that says, we receive. And listen to the words, listen to the chorus. You laid down your life on the table, broken like bread, poured out like wine. We sing, what a wonderful Savior. Jesus, our King, all that you gave, we receive. And then the bridge says this, for the price you paid, we pour out our praises. For this feast of grace, we thank you, Jesus. So as you come forward, would you sing those words? If the song is new to you, then just, hey, meditate on the words. But may these words be your words as you come to receive the elements. And then as you come, take the elements, hold on to them, go back to your seat, and then Ken, one of the elders, and I will lead us in the taking. So a couple minutes, 20 or 30 seconds of confession. David will encourage us to come and receive, and then we'll take them, the elements, all together. Let's pause for a time of confession now.
Thank you for joining us today for another encouraging message from God's Word. Our prayer is that you have been built up and spurred on to take the next step in your walk with Jesus Christ. At Harbor, our vision is to glorify God as we share the gospel, make disciples, start churches, and multiply leaders. Our mission is to see everyone in our church walking with someone from disenchantment to discipleship. If you have questions about who Jesus is, would like to be prayed for, or if you would like to talk with one of our pastors, please visit our website at harborfellowship.com. We would love to connect with you. If you have questions about the ministries of Harbor Fellowship Church, would like training in how to share the gospel, or if the Lord is prompting you to support the ministries of Harbor financially, please visit our website, harborfellowship.com. Join us next time as we once again open God's Word together and take the next step from disenchantment to discipleship. This podcast is a production of Harbor Fellowship Church in St. Catharines, Ontario.